slime.
What a business is pressing, brother. Help yourself.
I'm too old for all these gadgets.
I know. I know what you mean. It took me a while. Dad teach me how to turn it on.
Okay. Oh, my. Brother, you'll find out in a few minutes that I have a very serious problem with nerves. I don't know if I can get that thing on there. I just got married not long ago. They had to do the same thing again, dress me up.
You're on, brother. Go ahead.
Hey, don't take my bomb.
Give me off.
I'm going to lower that a little bit so I can see over it. You know, it's great when you're 9 foot tall. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Chronicles, if you would, in chapter 20. And while you're turning there, I just always feel like when I go somewhere and people do not know me, that I ought to introduce myself a little bit and tell you a little bit about my life and what the Lord has done. And I hope the Lord is doing something in your life now.
Yes, sir.
Man. You know, places I go and I hear and they have a testimony time. So often I hear people say, oh, I'm so glad the Lord saved me. Praise God, He saved me, you know, and talk about. That's a wonderful thing, amen? We ought to do that.
Yeah.
But I hope He's done something since He saved
amen.
Me.
Amen.
I hope there's something going on right now.
Yeah.
Amen. I got saved when I was 35 years old. I didn't go to church. My family was not a church-going family. And so I really didn't know much about, knew not practically nothing about the Bible. And I had left home when I was 17 years old and went and joined the Army because I didn't want people telling me what to do. So, you know, when you're 17, you know, you pretty much know it all. And so, anyway.
Yes, sir.
But I did. I went to the Army. I spent 9 years in there, and I got out, and then I worked for AT&T. Well, actually, Western Electric, installing telephone offices for a number of years for about 9 years, and then 9 years with the local telephone company, and then another 7 years with another division of AT&T. And, but in the meantime, in the middle of all that, I had a brother-in-law and who invited me to come and play softball. He knew that I liked to play softball. I just like to play ball. And so he said, our church is starting a league. He said, we'd like for you to come out and practice. So I went out and practiced for a couple of weeks, and they said, yeah, you're a pretty good ball player. We'd love to have you on our church team. However, you can't play during the week unless you attend the Sunday service. Now that's pretty sneaky, isn't it? But I said, well, I think maybe I might be able to do that. My wife had been trying to get me to go to church. She'd gotten saved a few months earlier. And so I did. I went in, and on a Sunday morning, there was a young evangelist there. He'd been in for a youth rally Friday night and Saturday, and he preached Sunday morning, and he got up and started talking about me.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was very nice, but he did. He got up and he started talking about sin, and he started talking about the wages of sin and what we all deserve. And he started naming sins and all that. I thought, this guy's been talking to my wife. But you know what? He didn't know anything about me. He didn't even know I was there. God was doing the work.
Yes, sir.
God got a hold of my heart. And when they gave the invitation at the end of the service, I was halfway down the aisle before I realized. And I stopped. And I'm like, what am I doing? And then I realized, I can't stand here. I feel like a fool standing here in the middle of the center aisle of the church. So I went on forward. And the pastor stepped down from the platform. Now, we've been playing ball together. Anyway, he stepped down. He said, Jack, why have you come forward? And I said, well, I really don't know. I'm just not sure. He said, well, I know. And he motioned for one of the deacons to come over, and he said, take Jack back in the Sunday school room. He said, talk with him. He needs to be saved. And he went we went back to the Sunday school room, and he went over, well, I basically went down to Romans Road. He explained things to me, same thing, not just for preach, but he just explained it to me. And I remember that morning, I realized I was a sinner on my way to hell.
Amen.
And I realized that Christ died for me on that cross.
That's right.
And so he said to me, if you will just pray, and before he said, if you just pray a prayer, something like this, and he began, and before he could give me a demonstration of a prayer, I began to pray. And I don't ever remember praying before in my life, but I always remember what I prayed, basically this. Lord, today, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I deserve to go to hell. But I understand that Christ died for me. And if I'll ask him into my heart, he'll come and he'll save me. And I did. I did. And it felt like a ton was lifted off my shoulders. I felt like the weight of the world was lifted off of me. What a wonderful day that was. I left there. I think I don't believe I was walking on the floor. I think I may have been a little off the floor. I was excited. I was thrilled. And I thought everything from now on is going to be perfect. No more problems. Everything's going to be perfect, right? Didn't take too long, of course, before I found out. When you get saved, you get a whole new set of problems. Because the devil's got a few things he wants to send your way. And so, I realized that the Christian life, living for the Lord, is a struggle. And there will be times, and the message I want to bring tonight, there'll be times when we don't know what to do. Amen? You ever been there? You ever been there? When things are just so complicated, just so many things happening, and you just don't know where to turn. I'm going to bring a message tonight when you don't know what to do. But just before I do that, I want to give you one more testimony about my life and what the Lord is doing lately. You know, I said that I hope the Lord's doing something in your life recently. Amen? I was married for 58 years. And then my wife went to be with the Lord. And just before she went, she said to me, well, I say just before she went, for several months, she would say to me, when I'm gone, you need to find somebody. You can't be alone. And I said, hon, you know I'll never be alone. I have the Lord. She said, she just looked me right in the eye and she said, I know that, and you know that's not what I'm talking about. She's talking about that we need a helpmate. We need someone. Amen? Now, I thought, I'm a preacher. I've pastored. I've stood with others beside caskets. And, you know, I've dealt with many things over the years. And I thought, I can handle, with the Lord's help, I can handle whatever comes my way. And I'll be just fine. I'm going to be fine. Well, it was only a matter of a few months until, folks, I'll tell you, I was laid in the bed at night and actually cried out. I mean, literally cried out to the Lord. I was so lonely. I was so helpless. You see, 6 years ago, I had cancer, and I survived that. Then I had some things happen in the ministry, and my ministry kind of shut down. And I wasn't doing much of anything. And then I lose my wife. Life was over. I didn't think there was anything else left to live for. And so I'm crying out to the Lord. And you know what? He already had the answer. I didn't know what to do, but he was already providing the answer. My dear wife here tonight knows. Her husband, whom I knew, preached for me a number of times. And so we've known each other for about 25 years or so. But only as, you know, as preachers get together in their wives and fellowship. We never talked much, hardly or anything. But I was going to a meeting over in Allentown area. Well, that's Easton, actually, over there. Brother Art Gilmore was having a meeting, and I found out that Rose's son-in-law was the evangelist in the meeting. And so I decided I'd go over, and I called her. I hadn't talked to her since Bob's passing. And I asked her if she was going to be there, and she said she was. Looked forward to seeing me. And so we got over there, and I remember her pulling her van in up near the tent. It was a tent meeting, and I walked up there and began to talk to her. We just started talking about our departed spouses and just talking about life and just talking, you know. And the longer I talked with her, the more comfortable I felt. And we both decided I need to shorten the story up a little bit. I don't know how much time I have, but I need to. All right, brother. I began to think. Her husband Bob had called me and asked me if I could come out and do some work at their house about 8 months before his passing. And I was dealing with my sick wife, and I told him I couldn't do it. But after all this happening, I said to Rose, I said, you know, we were over at that meeting. I said, if you think it would be proper, if you have family there with you or something, I could come out and do some of that work there at the house that Bob had asked me to do. You know, I said, I'd like to do that for an old friend. And so we decided to talk about that further. But as we spent more time together, I said this to her, you know, I said, I told you that I would come out and do some things for you if I could be of help to you. Because Bob and I were friends. But you know, I've come to the conclusion I'd come out and do some things for you because I just kind of like being around you. And so we began to talk about that. And actually, it was pretty quick. What I'm telling you is that was August a year ago, okay? December, this past December, we were married.
Oh,
is God doing anything for you? He's doing something for me. I have the privilege. How many people have the privilege? How many men, I need to put it properly, how many men have the privilege of having two good helpmates? I have been greatly blessed. Greatly blessed. I had a good marriage, like I said, of 58 years. Rose and Bob had a good marriage of almost 55 years. Now we're together, and we're just really enjoying life. We have another good marriage. I'm just trying to say to you, God is good. Amen. Now you young people, you don't quite understand that yet. It's old conference here.
Amen, brother.
I'm just saying to you, you know, God is interested in every part of our life. Amen?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All about our life.
Yes, sir, he sure is.
And he can, and he will help.
Yes, sir.
And I stand here before you tonight, and I'm not sure even why I'm here. There's a bunch of preachers in here. A lot of people here with good testimonies. A lot of people here that God has used. I see God is working here. I've not been in a church where the singing was like it was tonight in quite a while. I enjoyed that. Amen? Hey, when you sing, sing. Amen? Put that message out there. Get the message in your heart. Put it out there. All right, that's another step. No extra. It's all free. But I just want to say to you, the message tonight, when you don't know what to do, and folks, this will apply the principles I'm going to talk about applies no matter what your age. It applies whether you are a young Christian. By that I don't mean your physical age. I'm talking about you just got saved recently. Or whether you've been saved for 50 years. The principles will apply. All right? So I just want to say those things before I get into the message. All right. Look at 2 Chronicles with me, please, in chapter 20. And by the way, I would say, I often say this to the young folks. You see me standing here. You see my head. My hands shake. My head shakes. All right. I tell you, it shakes a lot, but it has never fallen off yet. So I think I'll be all right. Okay? I hope you'll be all right. And I hope you like to have a good time in church.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Church, I believe church needs to be a place that's exciting. Amen. Church needs to be a place where there's joy, excitement. You know? Let me do this. I got started preaching to children, bus riders from first grade through to sixth grade. I came from a church down in Maryland called Church of the Open Door. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or not. If you know anything about the Sword of the Lord, Dr. Shelton Smith is the editor of the Sword of the Lord. He was my pastor for 15 years. And we run buses all over the county and would have 100, 125, 130 kids come every week. And I ran a program for the kids. I done the preaching. We had Sunday school and then preaching. And I used to do this with the kids. They'd come in. Now, they've been sitting for an hour in Sunday school. And so, you know, kids, especially kids that are not raised in the church, they're just not used to sitting there and paying attention. Amen. So when it comes preaching time, I want to get some of the energy out, you know, and so they could settle down and listen to the preaching. And so I would do this. I'd go in there and I'd say, if you're saved this morning, if you know the Lord, say amen. Amen. And they would say, amen. And I'd say, if you love Jesus, say amen. And they would say, amen. I'd say, you don't love him, I can't hear you. So let's try that this morning, or this evening here. Do you know you're saved tonight? Say amen.
Yeah.
All right. Do you love Jesus tonight? Say amen.
Yeah.
See, you don't really love him or you'd be excited about saying amen. If you love Jesus, say amen.
Yeah.
You're getting there. You're getting there. See? And if I kept going with that for a while, you might get excited. And then after that, you got to calm them down. All right, so I'm going to try to get off of the humor, okay, and get serious. So just calm down. Okay? 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And I'm going to read quite a bit of the chapter. And even before I do that, let me just note a couple things about King Jehoshaphat here. King Jehoshaphat, like you and I, many had a good start. He was serving the Lord. He was doing things the right way. God was greatly blessing him. And he became rich, prosperous, powerful. And then he began to forget the Lord a bit. And he got tied up, if you remember from the scriptures, he got tied up with old King Ahab of Israel. You know, and then he made a mess is what he did. He got an alignment with the devil's crowd. And what happened then was Jehu reproved him for that. Told him, you better straighten out. Amen. I'm just putting it in my language today. Now, you need to go back and read two or three chapters prior to what I'm going to read tonight. But I bring that up. And by the way, he got right with God again after that. All right? There's a lesson in that. If you know what's right and you see somebody, a fellow Christian or whatever, get started down the wrong path, rebuke them. Amen. Talk to them. Tell them where they're wrong. A friend is going to let you know if you get on the wrong path. And so you need to do that. And see, here I go again. I'll start down rabbit trails, brother. I may be, who knows where I go. We need that. Amen. I need it. I need it. I need friends that will tell me if I start drifting. okay? And you do too. And so that took place, and it got straightened out again. But here's the point. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. It came to pass after this, and that's why I talked about those things. He's been out in that path. He's been blessed. He's been prosperous. He's been powerful. He got in trouble. He went the wrong way. He was rebuked for it, and he straightened out. But this says, it came to pass after this. Came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazion Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil come upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. There's the title of my message, when you don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benai, the son of Jael, the son of Mattani, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the roof before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness to Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and your inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And I'll stop the reading there. I'll refer to a few of the verses later. And I'll stop the reading there and back up again to the verse there. Verse 12, neither know we what to do. When you don't know what to do. I want to give you 4 points tonight. If you will do these 4 things, doing them in faith, you will get the answer of what to do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I need some help now. It's such a privilege, an honor to be standing here before this group of people. Lord, I'm unworthy to stand and preach. But Father, I know that you can do something. So Lord, I pray that you'll help me. I pray that you'll help your people tonight, Lord. We're needy people. We need to hear from you. We need the power that only you can give. And so Father, bless now in these next moments. Use me, I pray, help me to remember things that will be profitable. Help me to say things that will help folks. I don't want to say anything that need not be said. I want to try to say all that I can that will be of help. So I pray that you guide and have your way in these next moments. And I thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Honestly, I do feel very unworthy to stand here. But it's amazing what God can do.
Yes, sir.
God can use anyone.
Yes, sir.
Anyone that will take these four things and put them into practice. When you don't know what to do, and that's exactly what he said, we have no power, we don't know what to do. But note in verse 12 and in verse 13, it said, in verse 12, let me read the verse again. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that comes against us, and neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Our eyes are upon thee. Number one is look to the Lord. When you don't know what to do, look to the Lord. You know, our nation is a mess. And I hear politicians that say, pray for America. I wonder if they ever pray. I wonder if they know anything about God. It is such a mess. And they only use that for advantage. They're not really talking about looking to the Lord. We need to look to the Lord. We need to look up. Amen? Psalm 5:3 said this, my voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. So many people, when they get overwhelmed, they don't know what to do. And they begin to walk around this way. And they're looking down here. And they're trying to find something down here. Or they're looking over here. They're looking for a friend to meet their need, to tell them the answer, to give them instruction. Well, we can give one another some instruction, amen, from the Word of God. Well, we need to look to God. Look up. God is in heaven, amen. Get above the circumstances and look to Him. That's where the answer comes from. You don't know what to do, look up. He said, my voice shall they hear in the morning. That's a good time to look up. Amen. Get up in the morning and look up. Look for the Lord. See what He's doing. He's doing something. Amen. If we're yielded to Him, He will do something for us. And so we need to look up to Him. And we need to get our eyes on eternal things. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 says this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Folks, eternity is the important thing. Amen? And we only have one opportunity to prepare for eternity. Amen? And so we need to think foremost about eternal things. Look at the eternal. Alright? Looking for the blessed hope. Titus 2:12 and 13. teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking for him to come back? Do you know he could come back any moment? Any moment. Many people think it's going to be a long time. It could be a long time. Amen? It could be another 1,000 years. Oh, maybe it could be another 1,000 days. Oh, wait a minute. It might be another 1,000 minutes.
Amen.
Or it could be within the next 1,000 seconds. It could be before I quit preaching.
Yes, sir.
Many think it will be. Now you missed out. I'm knocking stuff off the pulpit here. I'm sorry to tell what's going on. All right. You can get a wild man. I jumped up on the rail on there. Oh, that's interesting. It's got a little water in there or something. It got waves going on. So does our life. Amen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of waves going on. Look. Look. Look to God, not to man, not the circumstances, not to the government, surely. What a mess. Oh, I got to stay away from that. I spend too much time on that. But we need to look. Number one is look to the Lord. Now, let me give you the second point. Look to the Lord and then listen to the Lord.
Amen.
A lot of people look, you know. Where do you look, by the way? You look in the Word of God. Amen. But they look and then they look in here and then they see something. And I believe if you read this book, the Holy Spirit of God will speak to you. Amen?
Yes, sir.
But they look and they see, and God speaks, but he doesn't say what they want to hear.
Uh-oh. That's it, bro. Yes, sir. Exactly.
And so what happens? They don't listen. They don't listen. You see, look at verses. Verse 14 here, it said, upon Jehaziel, the son of, and gives his lineage there, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. You see, God's Spirit came upon this man Jehaziel. And God's Spirit still empowers men today.
Amen?
Amen. I said, look to the Lord and then listen. I said, you hear from the Word of God. Amen. And one of the ways you hear is what's going on right now, hopefully. I hope I'm saying some things that'll be of help to somebody. Amen?
Yes, sir.
You're hearing something. You need to hear from God's man on a regular basis. You need to be in church. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Under the hearing of the Word.
Yes, sir.
The power of God comes upon a man who yields himself for a position of service.
Amen.
The pastor commits himself to leading the church. All right? The missionary commits himself to going to the mission field. An evangelist commits himself to traveling church to church and proclaiming the Word of God. And it's as the Spirit of God comes upon a man and moves him that he has something to say that is worth hearing. Amen? And so we need to look to God and then we need to listen to what he said. And I already got into my next sub-point here because we need to realize that what is said by the pastor, by the preacher, by the evangelist, by the missionary, all right, is what God has said. Look with me at verse 15. He said, Jehaziel said, hearken ye, all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, now King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord and you. We need a little more of thus saith the Lord. We got too much of thus saith man. I told you I came from a large church. I was saved at a church that was about 200 members at the time. That church grew to thousands. Okay? And a lot of people have been saved there, and praise the Lord for that. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. But a lot of what took place there, and a lot of what takes place in a lot of big churches, is programs. Programs can get people. All right? Programs can get people. But only God saves people.
Amen.
I've had people tell me that such and such a preacher saved them. And I said, no, he didn't. No preacher ever saved anybody.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Only the Lord Jesus Christ saves.
Yes, sir.
And so it is not what man says. It does not matter tonight what Jack Haynes says. Let me give you a little illustration of that. I was teaching a Sunday school in a church. I was teaching a small group, adult couples. And we would talk about things, and the way I conducted the class was, I said, you bring your questions, and we'll get into the Word of God and get the answers. So we're talking about some things, and one of the men left that class, and he was talking to somebody else in the church, and he said, Jack Haynes said, then this got back to the pastor of the church, he said, Jack Haynes said, and he got really upset. And so I had to take the fellow aside out of my class and said to him, if you're ever discussing anything that we covered in class and you want to explain it to somebody else, whatever it is, if you want to use me in any way, say, the question came up in class and Jack took us to the scripture for the answer. It doesn't matter what I say. Amen. What matters is what the Word of God says. And so we see here, he said, thus saith the Lord. I said, we need to look to the Lord. We need to listen to the Lord. The man of God is speaking as God empowers him. Amen. We must hear, thus saith the Lord. And then notice further in that verse, he said, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed. Be not afraid. I think there are so many churches today that are crippled by fear. The fear of being criticized. I saw some folks tonight with their hands up when we were just singing and going on, you know, and they raised their hand. Oh my. Somebody will think I'm Pentecostal. There's a lot of churches that have no excitement in the church whatsoever. They're afraid to raise their hand. Now, I'm not an outward, I don't have an outward personality. I kind of hid all my life. I was little Jackie. I come from a family of nine. I was number eight. I was the youngest of the boys. So I was always little Jackie. I'm still little Jackie, I guess. You see, I didn't grow too big. But I kind of grew up with that, you know, that feeling that, you know, my brothers all older, they all know more than I do. And so it kind of made me an introvert, actually. And so, you know, I've been kind of afraid to do things. It's only been, I don't know how many years it's been, but it's not been a lot of years that I felt comfortable to raise my hand, praise the Lord. Why was that? Because people, I was afraid what people think. But we got to get past being concerned about what people think. Amen? What does God think? Is what we do pleasing in His sight? He wants to be praised. Amen? He wants us to have a good time. Amen? He wants us to rejoice in all that's going on. And we need to hear about that. Amen? We need to hear from God's people. And notice, by the way, what he said here. When I said, listen to the Lord. God's Spirit upon a man to lead, okay? Hearken, thus saith the Lord. Be not afraid. And then look at verse 15 and even down to 17. Again, be not afraid by reason of this great multitude. The battle's not yours, but God's.
Amen.
Listen to that, folks. Think about that. The battle is not yours, but God's.
Amen.
I spent 9 years in the Army. I never went to war. Nobody ever shot at me, and I never had to shoot at anybody. I'm thankful for that. But we spent a lot of time preparing in case something like that did happen. And we were preparing. When we were going out on maneuvers and practicing things and all that, do you think that I had to take the equipment, that I had to provide the equipment to do that with? Does the individual soldier provide his own weapon, his own gear, his combat gear, his sleeping bag, all those things? Who provides that? It comes down from the leader, amen, from the top. Of course, we understand that we're talking about the Army like that, the taxpayers provide it. But, all right. But I'm saying it is the commander's responsibility to have the equipment that is needed for the battle in place, not the individual soldier. And so here he said, it is not yours. The battle is not yours, but God's. And so we can look with assurance, understanding that God very well knows that. And so whatever we need in this battle, he will provide it. Yeah. Amen? When you don't know what to do, when it doesn't look like you have the tools to work with, look to him and listen to what he has to say. He'll give you what you need. And so that's what we're looking at here. So look to the Lord, then listen to the Lord, and then thirdly, let God lead. Verse 20 says they rose up and went. Okay, in verse 20. They rose early in the morning and went forth. That's what we need to do. We need to let God lead. We need to get up and do something. Amen? You know, how many of you, I just thought of something. How many of you have ever driven a car without power steering? Anybody? Well, some of you young folks have. You get that in a moment, too. Some of you older folks have driven a car that had no power steering. How easily did it steer when it was sitting still? I see people now, they get in the car, and they're going to turn to come out of a parking spot or whatever. They get in there, and they start the car up, and they go, spin the wheel. Well, those old cars, you didn't spin the wheel one car. All right. Didn't work. Oh, you could. If you had enough strength, you'd probably be doing it. Okay? They say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that God can guide you when you're moving, when you're doing something. If you're sitting still, if you're not moving, if you're not doing anything, I don't think you're going to get much direction. We need to do what we know. Amen? Get up and do something.
Amen.
That's what they did. They arose and went forth. And Psalm 5, verse 8 says this, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Now, the first few times I read that verse, I thought the psalmist was saying, Lord, make my way straight. I just want to go straight. Look what the verse says again. He said, make thy way straight before my face.
Amen.
Life's pathway has a lot of turns. All right. Now let me illustrate it this way. I could step down from here and go straight back that aisle and right out the door. Or I could go through this little doorway here and I could go over there and circle around and come back through there and back up here and across there and over there and by the piano and through a couple rows back there and go out the door. Guess what? I eventually got the same place, amen? Well, picture that's heaven. Out the door. Hey, by the way, it will be, amen? I'll be out the door one of these days. Could be soon for me at 80. I'm sure it won't be 80 more. I get on these rabbit trails again. I just can't help it. I just thought of that. You know, I told Rose the other day, I said, she had 55 years with Bob. Boy, if we do that again, we're going to be old. Wouldn't it be exciting to try? I'm thinking about that. I'm working on it. I don't think it's going to happen. But listen, whatever happens, I want God to put us on the right trail. And I'll go back again. I told you a little while ago that I had kind of lost my ministry. I went through a surgery with the cancer and the chemo, and I was so weak, I couldn't do anything. And then there was something else happened in the ministry that I'm not going to talk about here. And then I lost my wife, and I just thought it was just all over. But God has begun to put some things together. I've done more preaching in the last 6 months than I've done in the last 6 years. God is doing something. Amen? And God has given me a partner that has years of experience. Bob and Rose spent many, many years on the road. She's a perfect helpmate for me to get back into doing something.
Amen.
And she's a perfect helpmate in a lot of other ways too. And I'm not going to tell you all. I can't help it. I'm just like a kid again.
Amen.
I'm like it was 16 or 18 or something.
Amen.
I'm as excited about life. You know, we ride down the road holding hands.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You know what? That's just so good for me. I think it's good for her if she wouldn't do it. Oh, my. God is doing something. My whole point of saying that is, you know, if we'll just get to doing something and understand that the path does not have to be just exactly straight. The psalmist is saying, Lord, turn me so that I'm looking exactly where you have for me to go now. All right? Not worrying about the door back there. Lord, do you want me to go over here and preach to these folks over here for a while?
Amen.
Just preach over here and forget that crowd over there. Well, that's what the Lord wanted. That's what I do. I think you'd like to have me say something to everybody. But I'm just trying to say to you that wherever God points us at that time, just let him use you now where you are. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't know where, you have to know where it's going to end up. I don't know where I'll be in another month. Oh, I don't know where I'll be in another week. I know where I'm invited to be down the road somewhere, a few weeks, a couple different places. But I don't know exactly where I'm going to be. And even with the invitations and whatever, that could all change. I hate to think of this, but you know, I'm 80 years old. Something could easily happen to me and I wouldn't be able to go out and travel and preach. That could happen very easily. So I need to do what I can do today. I don't know why I was invited here. There are many preachers that preach better than I do. There are many preachers very highly educated, and I have practically none. Oh, I have a GED I got when I was in the Army because I quit school when I was 17. I took a few classes at my home church for my own edification so that I'd know a little more, but I don't have any college degrees. I don't have any of those things.
Amen.
One of the things I used to struggle with when I first got into the full-time ministry, to go to a preacher's fellowship, the first thing they want to know is, where'd you go to school? What group are you with? You know, are you with Southwide Baptist Fellowship? People just sort of, oh, you Hiles Anderson, you. Yeah. Who cares?
Amen.
It's nonsense. Do what you can do with what God places in your hand. Okay? Let him have his way. Look to him, listen to him, let him lead. And then fourthly, and I think I probably shouldn't be getting done because somebody else wants to preach. But fourthly, lift up your voice and praise the Lord. Look back at verse 19 again. It said, and the Levites and the children, the Kohathites and the children of the Korah stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. Speak up. Amen. Began to praise the Lord with a loud voice on high, they said. And then in verse 21, said that when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as it went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And then verse 22 said, and when they began to sing and to praise. When they began to sing and to praise, what happened? God gave the victory.
Amen. Right?
So look to the Lord, let the Lord lead, and look to the Lord, listen to the Lord, and let the Lord lead. All right, and then just begin to lift up your voice and praise his name. Lift up your voice and praise God for his mercy as we warn sinners. In Isaiah, of course, 58:1, I think most of us would know, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and shew my people their transgression, the house of Jacob their sin. And then I say, just stand up for Jesus there in 19. Amen. And it says, they stood up to praise the Lord. And when they began, God gave the victory. We'll have the victory. When we began to thank him and praise him, let people around us know that God is alive. Amen.
Amen.
That God is doing something.
Amen.
I said, remember what I started with? I said, folks say, well, praise the Lord, God saved me 50 years ago. Hey, God is still doing something today. And I've given you illustrations of that. God is still doing something. Tell somebody about it. Get excited about it. Let God use you to be a witness. And in conclusion, if we will look to the Lord, listen to the Lord, let the Lord lead, lift up our voice in praise to the Lord, then victory will be ours. You can read about that in verse 24. I'm not going to go back and read that right now. But victory will be ours. We will prosper. And you can read about that in verse 25. And I will look at verse 29. Others will come to know the Lord. Verse 29. The fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Others will come to know the Lord. And verse 30 says, and so the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. We'll have peace and rest. And most important of all, God will get the glory.
Amen.
It's all for his glory. Amen. Anything I can do, the fact that I could stand and preach, shaky as I am, the fact that he would give me a new life, the fact that he would give me opportunity to preach, the fact that he would bring me here, he'll do the same kind of things for you. I'm not special. I'm not worthy to do any of the things that I'm privileged to do. By the way, neither are you. But God will allow it because he wants and he deserves the glory for all that takes place.
Amen.
What a God we serve.
Amen.
I can probably say a lot more. I just want to thank the Lord for what he's allowed me to be a part of. And this meeting being a part of that. And so, thank you, Brother Tim, Brother Asker, all that's involved. Thank you. And praise God.
Amen.
I hope it's been a help to you. Father, thank you for the privilege you've given me. Bless your people now. Have your way. The remainder of this life and the remainder of this meeting and all ones of the days to come, we pray. We thank and praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.